Let's just take a few minutes here tonight. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. Read there, and I'll read a verse in Psalm 92, a couple of them. I was just sitting there thinking, I'm not the oldest person here, but I'm the oldest Christian here. I've been saved, been a Christian, longer than most of you have been alive. And I just want to tell you this. I'm going to preach tonight about spiritual growth for a few minutes. Growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm just going to tell you how it is. It doesn't get boring, more boring. It doesn't get duller. It gets better and better and better. I'm more excited, more interested. I spend more time searching now than I ever have in all my life. It don't get worse. It gets better. Yes. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. I'm telling you the truth.
Yes.
You ought to get to it. I mean, we've been talking about Christian virtues, and I don't know if this be included in that or not, but a real Christian grows.
Yes, sir.
You grow. We were talking about it the other day, and you know, a lot of things, there's just been certain points in my life where some truth just came through clear, and it was just like going to another level immediately. And then, but all spiritual growth's not like that. Doesn't happen that way. Let's read a verse. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. That's the end of what he said. Now that's not, that is a statement there like a command. But grow in grace and in the knowledge. So we have a part in this. All right. In Psalm 92, I'm going to read a couple of verses there. Psalm 92, verses 12 through 14. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. Now that's a statement of fact. He will. If he's fed. If he's got water and food, he'll grow. He's not going to wither up. He's going to flourish. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Now see there, if you're a little bit overweight, that ought to encourage you tonight. To grow. Well, I got another verse I want to read here in a second. But we're to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, one more verse. As newborn babes, y'all are familiar with this verse. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. That you may grow thereby. So, what does it mean to grow? Well, in the physical sense, it means you get bigger and you get stronger. You know, in your physical life, you learn more too. As you grow, you learn also. You're gathering knowledge of the world. You're getting stronger. You're getting larger. There's a point where you should stop growing physically, you know, but it's not that way spiritually. The soul and the spirit, there's no limit. Y'all understand that? It's infinite what you can, to the heights you can grow. Now, I don't believe anybody's got to the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ yet. So there's still room. There's still a place to go. And to grow means to enlarge in bulk or stature by a natural, imperceptible addition of matter. You can't hardly see things grow, can you? It just happens. You look away for a little bit and look back and you can say, oh, there's more there than what there was. But it happens slow. If you just stare at something, you can't see it growing. But over time, you do see it. It's imperceptible. But it's there's a lot more that he says here about it. But a plant grows from a seed to a shrub or a tree, and a human being grows from a fetus to a man. Isn't it amazing? the transformation that takes place. Think about it. Well, he's likening that in the Word of God here to our spiritual growth. It ought to be parallel to that. There's a sense in which you can understand it better by looking at the physical, what happens in the physical. You ought to grow in the Lord. I mean, when you look back, a lot of people, and I've been in churches all my life where they taught that that was the most important thing and that you needed to remember was the day you got saved and write it down and the date and all of that. And so if the devil ever tells you that you're not saved, you can go back to that and see, and that'll assure you again. Well, that's never been my experience. I've found more assurance as I go than I ever had that day.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't have to go back to that day. I can look at today and realize that I'm saved. Well, grace is the divine influence of God upon the heart and life. We tell that to you over and over. I repeat that a lot. But that's one of the things we're supposed to grow in. Knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is simply becoming more familiar with Him and knowing Him like you know another person. The more we're around one another, the more familiar we are with one another. The more we know one another and understand one another. That's the way it's supposed to be with Christ. You're supposed to get to where you know Him better and better as you go along. And take my yoke upon you. And learn of me, he said. Learn of me. How do you learn? Well, you stay around him. You stay close. You read what he said. You read about him all through the Word of God, like we talked about this morning. The whole book's about him. Old Testament, New Testament. You can find him anywhere in there. Any page you turn to, you're going to find him. There's no limit to what we can know about him. So we're not going to exhaust that. You don't just learn that Jesus was the Son of God and He died on the cross for your sins. He rose the third day and He ascended back to heaven. He's coming again and that's it. No, there's much more to be learned. That's what I'm telling you. When I first started out, I thought and everybody talked and told me and preached like that was it. You know? But that's not it. There's so much more to know. More about Jesus would I know. And there's so much about Him in every direction that you can start learning till you can't exhaust it. That's what I'm saying to you. And so the older you get and the more you study and the more you draw closer to Him and learn of Him and grow in grace, the more you see that there is to know. And the more excited you get about it and the better it is. And that's what's supposed to happen when you come to church. Church is not just to have a pep rally and let's all just cheer each other up about we're going to heaven one of these days. That's not what church is about. Church is about feeding the sheep. You're supposed to get something at church. What are you supposed to get? More knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. More understanding about how this whole thing works. Spiritual battles and the spiritual part of life and everything. More about God. What He's been doing from the beginning to the end of all of this thing. What it's all about. You're supposed to be learning about that. You're supposed to grow when you go to church. I told her the other day we were talking, I said, how many people do you think now that profess to be Christians are really growing? You can't grow when you're not eating. You can't grow when you're not even getting any milk, let alone anything else. When you just go to church and it's just a pep rally and we all just shout and sing and talk about heaven and then we all go home. Glad we're saved on our way to heaven. You don't grow with that. Now there's a place for that. I'm not saying we should never do that. Well, yeah, we ought to do that too. But if that's all we ever get, we don't grow. And I've lived long enough, been a Christian long enough, and I've watched it long enough till I can say that with a certainty. People that live in that all the time do not grow in the Lord. They shrivel up, they get spiritually sick, and a lot of them bail out. Most of them do. You got to grow. You're supposed to grow when you come to church. You're supposed to have something when you come to church. I remember down there at Brother Williamson's that time, that old black preacher got up and he said he'd been preaching for 40 years or something. And he said, this is what I've learned about being a preacher, a pastor. He said, this is what it's about. Feed my sheep. That's it. He said, that's what I'm supposed to do. Feed them. Give them something to chew on, to think about. Something that'll nourish their soul and their spirit. That'll keep them alive. You'll do that for your children. You'll do that for your babies. You won't let them starve to death. You want to make sure they got something. We wouldn't let each other starve or go hungry. I told her the other day, we don't even know what it's like to be hungry anymore. We don't eat because we're hungry. We just eat because, yeah, just out of compulsion, just a obsessive compulsive behavior. That's what our eating is now. We don't even really know what it's like to be hungry. I seen Brother Pete's deal here the other day when he wrote about Thanksgiving, and he said it was the only day of the year when I could eat all I wanted. So that means 364 days you never got all you wanted. When you quit eating, when it's gone, you're still hungry. So we don't even know, see? We just eat because we just want to taste it again. All bloated up and rolling around and can't hardly heartburn and stomach ache and everything all messed up and need to eat some more. Yeah. Don't even know what it's like to be hungry. A lot of times when you're sick, you don't want to eat. It takes away your appetite. I wonder if that's why people are not growing. I wonder if that's part of the reason people are not growing. They're not hungry. You're either dead or you're sick. You're either not alive at all or you're alive and there's something bad wrong. If you don't want nothing. I mean, if you got no appetite, if you have no desire to grow, to understand, then I question what you got. So the question for each of us is, this is what we ought to ask ourselves, am I growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord? You ever check up on yourself like that? You ever look back a year and say, have I grown since then? Do I know more now about Jesus than I did a year ago? Does God have a bigger say in my life, grace, this year than a year ago today? Have I went backwards or am I going forwards? Have I gained ground or have I lost ground? I think we ought to ask ourselves that. What about the past month, past week? Can you tell week from week? Is there a difference in how much influence God has over my life every day? Growth is a slow process. It's such a slow process you can't see it happening moment by moment. You know, plants grow real slow. In James chapter 5, verse 7, behold, the husbandman, that's a farmer, waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it. He knows he can't just go out there and put the seeds out. He don't go out the next day looking for something growing. Ain't no need going back for a while, because it's going to take some time. Right. And ain't no need getting the combine out and going out in a week or two, because there ain't going to be nothing out there. It's going to take this many weeks, this many months, at best, before there's anything going to be there. But he does have expectation. He plowed, he planted, and he's watered and taken care of it, so he's expecting something from it. And the Lord is expecting something from us, too. What was that verse I read there about he'll bring forth fruit in old age? They'll be fat and flourishing. What does it mean to flourish? He said that 2 or 3 times there. That's the, well, yeah, just growing real well. You plant stuff, you plant your garden, and boy, you're thrilled if it just, man, if it just pops up there and it's just lush and you think, boy, this is going to be good. Animals grow slowly. People grow slowly, both spiritually and physically. All this instant mindset of everything instant and quick and fast and painless and right now that we've got in this generation is, it's crippling to the to the work of the church, because it just don't happen that way. I mean, I want you to get this. You're not going to grow in grace unless you're faithful in church services where you're getting something from the service. You just won't grow. It won't happen that way. When something isn't growing, it's because there's no life there. It's dead. That's one of the reasons. If there's life, there will be growth. That's one of the indications of life. If it's alive, it's going to increase. Isn't that how they measure cancer and everything else? If you got a tumor, they call it remission if it gets smaller. But if it keeps getting bigger, it's growing and increasing. When something isn't growing, it's because there's no life there. Life necessarily produces increase. Trees get bigger if you leave them alone. Mm-hmm. If you don't cut them down, they just keep getting bigger and bigger. Especially if they're close to your house.
Yes.
Grass gets taller. I mean, if you don't cut it, it gets taller and taller. Mm-hmm. But life doesn't produce growth like an explosion. It's so slow that you can't observe it moment by moment. Some things you can observe day by day. Now, you can watch even your flowers that you grow in the windows and stuff. From one day to the next, you can see a change. But a lot of the times, it'll sit there for months and you can't see no difference. And then you go back one day and there's a change. A blossom. A bud. A new shoot or something. That's kind of how it works with spiritual growth too. You just got to be faithful and be like the husbandman that waiteth with long patience, waits for the fruit of the earth. You got to wait. I mean, if you want something from God, how long did Moses wait to hear from God? Talk about that this morning a little bit. 40 years in the backside of the desert, and as far as we know, he never heard from God one time until one day. One day. He heard from God. Well, that's the way spiritual growth is. You may go along for a long time and think you're not. I mean, you know, this. I don't feel like I'm getting anywhere. Well, you better just hang in there.
Yes.
If you wait on the Lord and be of good courage, he'll strengthen your heart. And he'll do it in due time. But it's not something that's going to happen instantly. And that's what everybody seems to want. They want to just show up at church and then get some whoosh. Some man, somebody, something. Just give them a rush of some kind and then everything's good with them and God. It does not work like that. You wait. You search for the Lord with all your heart. And you'll find him, he said. If you search for me with all your heart. He ain't hiding. He's more willing to speak to you, to give to you, to help you, to open your understanding than you are to have it all done for you. I mean, he's more willing to do it for you than you are to take it from him. Other things you can measure the growth until you go to large intervals of time. You can't measure the growth. Like trees. You know, like hair. You know, hair don't grow real fast. Unless you shave every day and it's on your face, and then it grows real fast. Yeah. Ain't you women glad about that? That you don't have to do that? Everybody's saying, well, you talking about you don't shave either. Well, I did my neck, see there? And that's a pain to have to do that. But trees seem to grow slow. But when you look at the overall picture, boy, they grow pretty fast. I mean, the increase, I mean, and you got to understand a little bit about timber and how it all works and volume and all of that. But, and the government does that. They figure all that stuff, see. And I don't know how well they manage it, but they figure that all out. But, I mean, you got a forest full of trees. And you cut out the big trees and leave the little ones, and you think, well, ain't going to be no trees there to cut for a long time. No, it ain't going to be long. There'll be trees there big enough to cut again. And there'll be a lot more volume than you can imagine because each one adds up. You're not talking about just one tree. You're talking about a bunch of trees. Yep. What if everybody in the church grew like they were supposed to? How could the church prosper? And how could the churches go forward if there was really growth happening among all of the members? You know, the sum of it all would amount to something really great. You watch all these trucks and sawmills around here, and that man, they're just cutting the timber. Now they got all these big machines where it's going out there and just slaying it everywhere. And you think, ain't going to be no timber. But I've been hearing that for the last 40-some years. There's still timber.
Sure.
You know why? Because timber grows. It grows. And as long as there's life, there's always going to be something there. It's kind of how it is with the churches, too. As long as there's life, the church will go on. And if there's life, there's going to be growth. But you got to eat. You got to have water. You got to drink. You know, children grow. When they're born, it seems like they're in diapers forever. But then all of a sudden you wake up and you just realize, man, they're growing up on me. Too fast. Everybody says that. Kids grow up fast. Well, not day by day, not day by day and moment by moment, but boy, it sure happens all of a sudden, seems like, don't it? I wish spiritual growth happened that way. It's supposed to happen that way. I wish that it really was where you could see somebody get saved, start coming to church, and in a few years, they had some strength and had some, you know, of their own. I mean, they knew some stuff. And they bore fruit. And they were stable and contributing to the church and the work of God. I mean, and I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about strength and just being a part of it. A tree in the forest instead of just somewhere else. So spiritual growth is the same. Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Who's he going to teach that? Well, babies don't learn knowledge. Libby's there and she's having to be held because she's not getting one thing out of this at all. She's just having to endure because she's a child. Lucas, same way. He'll hear one little thing once in a while. See, he heard his name. Who is God going to teach knowledge to? When they get off of the milk. Yeah. Now they will. They will start listening. And they will start getting knowledge eventually. If they're here. Yeah. If they're in church and listening. Isaiah 28 verse 10. Next verse. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Here a little, there a little. He says line upon line twice. Everything he repeats twice. Here a little and there a little. That's how it happens. That's how the Lord teaches knowledge. That's what I told you a while ago. It's not something that is an explosion, and it's not something that happens all of a sudden, and it's not a miracle that brings you from point A to point B in your understanding and knowledge. It's here a little and there a little. Just a line here, a line there. Line upon line, line upon line. Precept upon precept, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. And the first thing you know, you're grown. You're walking. You're running. You're climbing. You're getting in things you shouldn't get into. You know what? I know, like when we were in Mexico, a Catholic, if they really got born again, you couldn't hardly keep them under control. They were so filled with zeal because of being brought out of the darkness they were in and they saw the light. I mean, you didn't have to push them. You had to rein them back, or they'd be out there burning a Catholic church to the ground. That's right. I mean, that's what they felt like doing.
Yes, sir.
And I think it ought to be that way with everybody that gets saved. You ought to, I mean, you shouldn't have to be pushed and drug along and all of that. I don't believe that. I believe if you get born again, you're going to have some go power of your own.
Yes, sir.
These little children, we don't have to take them to the cabinet and say, don't you want to see what's in here? We don't have to take them to the bathroom and say, don't you want to play the razors, Liz or Esther? You know, do you? You don't have to show them things and try to get them interested. They're interested in everything, and they're just into everything. And you just got to stay after them all the time so they don't kill themselves. Well, I think it ought to be kind of that way in the church, too. I think somebody gets saved ought to have to be watched after and guided like that instead of having to just, force feed them every Sunday and... I don't think you ought to have to drag them to church either. I think they ought to be anxious to get here, see what's here.
Yes,
see what's going to happen this time. See what's going to be said this time. True spiritual growth only happens slowly and over a long period of time. It's happening slow in my life, I'll tell you that for sure. Spiritual food doesn't come in concentrated pills that instantly boost you to a higher level of spirituality like Popeye and his spinach. It comes in little bites that you got to chew and swallow one at a time. Just like a baby. How many spoonfuls you think you put in her little mouth in the last 2 years, 3 years? Three, two, what?
Two and a half.
Two and a half, yeah. A bunch.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Bunch of food, bunch of diapers, bunch of clothes. Bunch of nights, sleepless nights.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what it takes to grow.
Right.
And it doesn't, and it's not just you. It's other people putting into you also. Little children need care. They need watching and caring for. They need, that's called nurturing.
Right.
And that's what you need as a Christian too. We have to be nurtured until we can hold the fork in our own hand.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but until we can find our own food, buy our own food, prepare it, and feed ourselves. Somebody has to do it for you.
Right.
So you got to take that into account. That's what church is all about. That's why Jesus set up the local church and why everybody ought to be there.
Yes, sir.
Man, you don't want to miss. You're going to miss a meal. You're going to miss something that was absolutely critical to your health, your spiritual health. It isn't miraculous. It isn't a powerful message that holds the key to all spiritual strength and maturity. Now, there are messages that make a big difference. There have been in my life. There's been certain messages I heard that I never forgot. Because something in that message did something to me. I got something that changed my way of thinking, my way of looking, made my eyes to see. A lot of you don't wear glasses, but I mean, you know, if you just knew what it was like to not be able to see and to put on glasses and see, then you'd know what I'm talking about when I tell you this. It's kind of like that. I've heard messages like putting on a new pair of glasses. And so you don't want to miss it. If I'd have missed it, it would have changed the course of my whole life. My children, my grandchildren. You understand how much is at stake? How much responsibility is on you? And what a difference it'll make in your posterity and in other people? That's why he didn't say, I'd sure like it if you'd grow. I suggest that you grow. I recommend that you grow. He said, grow.
Yes.
Grow. In the knowledge.
Yes, sir.
Grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's the little gleanings that you get from day to day and week to week. And it shouldn't all be in church. You ought to be reading your Bible at home.
Yes, sir.
And not just reading, you ought to be studying.
Yes.
You got, everybody's got a phone. You can get a Bible on that phone. You can search your Bible with that. I got one on the computer that's fantastic. But, you know, I just, that's how I study. I get to thinking about something. I start looking. And then it just opens up. Yes. All you got to do is just go for it. And it's there. I was reading the other day about gold, how these old timers back in the old West, they went out, they heard about the gold out there, and boy, they'd do anything to get to that gold. And I was reading about the Black Hills gold. Did you read that? Where they went up there and it was Sioux land. They owned it. The government had given it to them for all that was worth. But these prospectors started going up there and they trespassed and got on land and they found a few little flakes of gold along this creek and everything. But they just kept looking. They knew there had to be something else. And so anyway, to make a long story short, they went on up the creek and found a place and they started digging and they said, every shovelful yielded gold. I mean, just on the ground. They just started digging, turning a shovel over and gold. And of course, that was yippee. But that wasn't good enough for some of them. They said that this gold had to get here from somewhere else. This is gold. It's just, these are, what do they call it? They had a word for it. But anyway, it was just chunks of gold that had washed down the creek from somewhere. That'd be a big hunk somewhere. Well, they kept looking until they found it. And it was just an outcrop on a hill of gold. Of course, you know, everybody went nuts. But I mean, how long that gold been sitting there? How long been sticking out of that cliff? Well, since Noah got off the ark. Nobody looked for it until they went to looking for it. I wonder if there's anything in spiritual things like that. People get some nuts over gold that is going to perish. Gold that perisheth. Why don't people have that kind of appetite for the things of God that are eternal, that'll do you much more good if you find them? Riches. They're there. And it's just like what we just said here. If you look, you will find them. I find them every time. Every time I start having a question or just something sparks my interest in something or I get to thinking about, and I just start studying. And it ain't no time till it just opens right up and there it is.
Yes.
It just makes me think how much richer I could be if I'd have just understood this a long time ago.
That's right.
If I could have understood now, or 40 years ago what I understood now, man, where would I be now?
Yep.
So if you're young, get to it. Gird up the loins of your mind. Walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. Don't walk after the flesh. Don't be mindful of the flesh. Don't live after the lust of the flesh of this world. Live after the spirit of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek those things which are above and not on things on the earth. You'll be surprised what you'll find. That's spiritual growth. It's not that one outstanding message that changes things. It's that steady, faithful partaking of spiritual food that brings you to spiritual maturity every day. There are times of faster growth, and that usually happens when you're in great difficulty. Some of the times when I've grown the most is when I was having the hardest time. Or some calamity, some affliction, some disappointment, some challenge. That's been the times when I really needed help. Go to the Word of God and start looking and found it. Think of the number of meals that it takes to grow an infant to a full-grown man or woman. Did you ever think about that? Children ought to remember that. I was thinking about it yesterday. ungrateful children. No wonder God said, honor your father and your mother. And that's more part of the moral law. Do you realize? You don't even begin to realize how many. I mean, just think. How many times did my mother get up and cook breakfast, cook, fix lunch, cook supper, wash my clothes? How many times? Hundreds and thousands of times. Why? So I'd grow up. So I wouldn't die. And then children grow up and they just chunk all that to the wind. Ungrateful, hateful, despicable, wretched people do that. So, let me hurry up here. Spiritual growth is a result of perseverance in seeking God. Remember that. Spiritual growth is the result of perseverance in seeking God. Feeding on His Word. Listening to preaching. Reading and studying on your own. Spiritual growth is actually a work of God. Not a work of our own. You know, I can't add one cubit to my stature by thinking about it.
Right.
No, can't do it. We can't make anything else grow either. We can plant it, we can water it, and we can fertilize it, but we can't make it grow. It's God that gives the increase. Remember that. Any growth that you experience in your soul, it's God who does it. Not you. You don't gain it by striving. You gain it by faithfulness. Just by faithful living, partaking of the Word of God, of the water of life. So then, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. You may eat healthy and often, but growth is the result of life. It's important, these distinctions here. Spiritual growth works the same way. As we're faithful and seeking God by adding to our knowledge of Him by His Word, we find that our hearts have been enlarged. See, this is the bread of life. It is also the water. I mean, this is what we need to survive. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth and cometh forth from the mouth of God. Right here. You gotta have it. In order to grow, in order to live, you gotta have it. We're begotten by this book. I mean, by the Word of God. That's how we're born into His kingdom. Born spiritually by the Word of God. So, as we're faithful in seeking God by adding to our knowledge of Him by His Word, we find that our hearts are enlarged and our minds are opened and our understanding and our vision has been enlarged. That's growth. But the addition of knowledge alone is not spiritual growth. That's why people can know all kinds of stuff about the Bible and not grow spiritually. They're growing in knowledge, but not in grace. See? You got to grow in knowledge and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just knowing means nothing. It's detrimental to you. Knowledge puffeth up unless you know how to use it. Unless you know how to. Well, let me read this here. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. Simply increase in knowledge will make you proud, not spiritually mature. Now, I've known a lot of people just like that. They get ideas in their head. They learn something. They get obsessed with some hobby horse. Had a guy come to the church one time. He was one big mess. I'm telling you, I don't even want to talk about all the things that he was messed up about, but you want to know what he wanted to talk to me about? He came to church and brought his family and everything, it was a nightmare. But he wanted to talk to me to see if I knew about the seven mysteries in the New Testament. Because if I didn't know, he's going to tell me. You know, he was a horrible mess in his life. He didn't know anything about the gospel. He didn't know anything about church. He didn't know anything about nothing. He really didn't. But he was just, somehow he got that little thing that quirked his mind and intellect, and that's what he was stuck on. That's not growing in grace. That's taking you backwards. Knowledge puffeth up. It's not how much we know. It's how well we know him.
Yes.
Knowledge of him. Growing grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In order to grow spiritually, God's life must be in us. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. See? Your life, if you're still living your life, there can't be any spiritual growth. Proverbs 4, verse 18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Gary, you guys going to stay at home tonight. You're going to have some lamps or some kind of candles or lanterns or something, because your power's off, right? Messed up. Bad breaker. Can't get it until hopefully tomorrow. But you're going to have some light in that place. Or you just can't get along, can you? Be kind of bad being down there in the dark. World's a dark place. We're the light of the world. The path of the just is a shining light that shineth more and more even unto the perfect day. If you're still living your life, there's no spiritual growth. If you're living the life of God in you, that is light. And that comes from spiritual growth. You don't have that in the beginning. No, you just don't. A baby don't know anything. A baby can't do anything. A baby can't be anything to anybody. Can't be of no help at all. Everybody adores the baby. But boy, he's sure not, he can't contribute anything. That's the way it is spiritually too. There's a time when we depend on others, but it shouldn't stay that way. At some point, you ought to start shining. Don't you get it? I mean, look at these little children. We were all watching them grow. And watching them as they come from that stage to, I mean, we got them all here. Yeah. You know, Felicity and Ada's, they're at the age where they're just now. I mean, they realize the world's here. And they're into everything. And their little personalities coming out and everything. Then the others beginning to talk. And they got something to say. Man, it ought to be that way, and I'm going to quit. But it ought to be that way with Christian growth.
Sure.
We do it all backwards. We think the person just got saved ought to run and shout and tell everybody, and I've seen them take them and put them in a pulpit in 2 weeks after they got saved. I've seen them do that foolishness. Even when the Bible says, not a novice. But they do it anyway.
Yep.
And it's totally backwards. They're a babe. They don't know anything. They're not equipped. They're not ready at all. Grow. So you got to have time to grow. And it's a slow process. And everybody ought to see it happening. We ought to be able to see it happening in one another. I'm pleased. I don't know what other word to say. I'm thankful to when I see growth in some of you. Yes. I've seen growth in some of you. And I'm thankful about that. I hope I continue to see growth in you. If you would take your bearings, you'd see growth in me too.
Yes.
And so it encourages everybody. What do these little ones want to do? Grow up.
Yeah.
They want to be big. They got ambitions and they got interests and things that they want to do and see and places to go. And well, you ought to be that way as a Christian too. New heights I'm gaining every day. I was thinking of that song the other day. All right, I'm done. She'll grow up, won't she?
Yes, she's getting
better all the time. Look at Dorothy there, sitting up in the seat. Wasn't long, she was a little one like that. In the nursery. Grow. We need to grow. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the growth that we do see in one another. Thank you for the growth I've seen in my own life. I stand amazed at it sometimes. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us all not to grow stagnant, not to get sick in our soul and have no appetite. I pray you'd spark our interest, Lord, in the things of God, and help us to have that desire to understand and to know more and to prepare ourselves for the soon coming exit out of this place. I want to be ready to meet you. I don't want to be ashamed before you at your coming. I want to study to show myself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. I want to be ready and able to give an answer to every man that asketh me of the faith that lieth in me with meekness and fear. I want to be able to be of use to you and to have my senses exercised to discern good and evil. I want to grow up. I don't want to be a child spiritually. And I pray everybody to have that desire. Thank you for what you give us here. Thank you for the opportunity to serve you. And I pray you'd bless the Word of God that goes out of this place and others that listen. I pray you'd help each one and, Lord, that they would grow also. We love you. Pray you'd bless the time together here, the fellowship, the food. I pray that you'd bless it to our bodies now and help us, Lord, to have a good time together and enjoy one another's company and be edifying and helpful to one another in Jesus' name. Amen.